Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It was a hell of a comparison to be compared to Josh Allen. But as you come into your own, Drake May has to be Drake May. You know, and I was just so proud of him, you know, coming in here and leading the team. You know, being a young quarterback can be hard sometimes, and that's why you have a supporting cast. You know, running backs making plays, receivers making plays, and let them know that you got his back. So I was just super proud of him.
Stephon Diggs, when asked about the comparison of Drake May and Josh Allen, playing like Josh Allen, heck of a comparison. He caught 10 of those passes from May. The Bills fall to the Patriots. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Jeremy White and Sneaky Joe DiBiase with you here after a beautiful night. Temperature starts to dip today into tomorrow, and this probably the last 80-degree day of the year.
Pat Hammer said the last 80-degree day of the year.
All right.
It's going to be in the high 50s as a high on Wednesday.
I welcome it.
So
it was warm yesterday.
It was warm
yesterday. It was nice, but it was warm, and I welcome it.
I wore my hoodie in the stands. I'm like, oh, it's going to get cool eventually.
Yeah.
Didn't really.
No, it didn't.
I think I would have been fine without
it. I was shorts and t-shirt and fine.
Yeah, didn't really need it at the end of the day, but it was a very nice night. It was like a full moon last night, too.
Yeah, 98% full.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's not full.
It's not full. I thought it was a full moon, and I was called out. Actually, it's not, and sure enough, like a search? Nope, 98% full is what it is.
Still a nice night.
Still a great night. 803-0550, our phone number. One, if I could go silver lining, or one, arrow up. I've got an arrow up for you. Sal's got arrow up, arrow down. We'll talk to him at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Rousseau, arrow up.
Made some plays.
Most noticeable he's been in a game this entire year. He was very good in this game.
Especially the first half.
Yep.
I noticed him a lot in the first half. Didn't notice him a lot in the second half, but was their pass rush good yesterday? I thought it was good early, but weren't there a lot of plays in the second half where it just seemed like he could have had 15 seconds back there throw if he wanted?
He went 13 of 14 in the second half.
Right.
May.
And so, I think he had a lot more time in the second half. It seemed that way. A couple plays where just, again, he's hopping and hopping and hopping, and just there's no stress whatsoever.
803-0550. Bill and Clarence. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Quick, I got a comment and then a quick question at the end. My comment is, I mean, like you said, 97, 98% full moon. It wasn't even a full moon. It was just such an uncharacteristic night from our team. Losing the turnover battle, uncharacteristic. Losing at home, uncharacteristic. James Cook having 50 yards, very uncharacteristic. I just, I hope that this team doesn't show face when it matters in the playoffs, and I think that's kind of where we get a little scared as a fan base. And then also just a quick question. I noticed, I don't know where coaches decided just to knock off the cobwebs from the old flea flicker, but I feel like I have seen that play probably about 10, 15 times more than I already should. But my question here is I noticed that, I believe it was Benford yesterday, got called for an illegal contact on that play. And I think it's a little unfair to the defense. I know none of the rules favor the defense, but, you know, when that handoff is made, that kind of negates the five-yard bump and the illegal contact. I mean, I guess the obvious answer is, well, when you see him pitch it back to the quarterback, let go or get off. But there was barely any contact there. I felt like it should have been, you know, the ref should have kind of gave that to him. But if that's going to keep happening, I mean, that needs to be a point of emphasis because, I mean, that's just very, very unfair on a defense with how fast the game is played.
Yeah. Then again, like, if you're covering a receiver, you know, your job is to cover that player until it's clear that you don't have to. And you've got mobile quarterbacks, like, I don't know if there's any need to change a rule there. Whatever happens in the backfield happens in the backfield. I'm covering a receiver while a pass is still eligible to be thrown. So,
right.
I mean, I've never thought about there needing to be a change there.
I actually wonder if that is the rule and they just didn't call it that way also. Like, once you hand the ball off, is it not a run play?
No.
Well, it's a run play in that second. So if he's committing the foul while the running back has the football,
right,
that's a legal contact? I don't know. So
I never thought about it before.
I also don't know that it isn't the rule, and they just didn't notice it and didn't call it that way. So
there is one penalty that was called in this game. I mean, there were a lot of penalties called in this game.
Man, and some of them, flag fest.
Some of them were goofy. I thought, you know, the play where the Patriots get hit with a personal foul for hitting James Cook late.
Yeah.
That's a penalty. It was late. But it was also unfortunate. Cook is still upright thinking of lateraling. He's looking back to Allen like he's going to throw him the ball.
I thought there were so many penalties in this game that just did not need to be called at all. They were so soft on both sides.
There is one, though.
Bills had more. But.
You know, you let me know if I'm reading too far into one penalty. But there's one penalty, and it's an ineligible lineman downfield. And that's because in the red zone, this is the play where Allen pitched it to Shakir, and he got swallowed up.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be a run play. That's Allen choosing Ty Johnson or himself.
Right.
And he chooses himself, and it gets absolutely blown up, and he panics and flips it out to Shakir.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm not upset that he did that, but the fact that there's a lineman downfield indicates like that ball was not supposed to get thrown anywhere.
No.
And that's Allen in the moment kind of getting into his, and people say sugar high Josh, but that's in his creative play mode. He's thinking, I must do more. This isn't working. I must do more. Not take this loss and live to fight another day. That's Allen getting into I must do more mode. And a lot of times when he does that, it works well. But to me, more than anything, it's just an indication that he was flipping into that mode of I have to do more. This isn't working. We can't run the ball. I can't get my outside receivers open. I've got to try to make something happen. That's why he rolls out all the time and tries to create space. So that penalty to me was another indicator. Like he's going to that mode that he goes to.
Did he not throw an interception on the next play? Or was that a different drive?
Was it the next play?
It was that side of the field in the red zone. Maybe it wasn't the next play. Because was the pick a little bit of that too?
Maybe.
Like he kind of hesitated a little bit and like, I just got to rip this in here. And it was behind Shakir. Maybe he could have made the pass if it was more in front of him, but it was late. I'm looking now. I think it was a different drive. There was a different penalty that preceded that. What was the – to Kincaid? Offensive pass interference. That was the penalty I was thinking of that came before Allen threw the pick. So, yeah, there was a little – I mean, there was a little bit of that, and it was because guys weren't getting open. Just flat out. I think that's what happened. They couldn't run the ball. They needed to throw it, and your star quarterback had time and just had nowhere to go.
Kincaid is doubled on that play.
On the interception.
They've got two guys covering Kincaid.
Yeah.
And the linebacker's ready on Cook. It's a second and 13. And Allen rips over the middle looking for Shakir, which is also double covered. And the two outside receivers on this play are single covered. And, of course, just not open. So, you know, he uses the middle of the field there. 803-0550, our phone number. Eric in Lockport. Hey, Eric, good morning.
Hey, morning, boys. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
I'll just try to run through them quick as I can. So, firstly, I mean, yeah, no wide receivers open all night. I seem to remember the GM saying that we forgot about Josh Palmer. It seemed like the team forgot about him until the last play. And then I just want to point out, Stephon Diggs obviously really killed us. It's a good thing that we traded him for a second-round pick that we used to move up for a rotational defensive tackle whose name I've never heard in the broadcast. I don't know. It's frustrating with the offense because I feel like they, even when they score, it takes a really long time. It's 10 plays, 12 plays. They don't get any easy points. It just, you know, you would like to have some guys that can just get you some easy movement. And it's like just trying to nail a wall, you know, pound nail to the wall using a screwdriver when maybe they should just try to find a hammer. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Thanks. Thanks, Eric. Does it always look difficult?
I think it looks hard a lot.
Their streak of 30 points ends.
It does.
You know, 20 is a bad day. 20 is a bad day. I don't think there's any way around that. Like 20 points for them. You have three at halftime.
I guess I'm just never surprised when they mix these results in because it does always look hard. Or a lot of times. It looks really hard. So
unless it's James Cook breaking away.
It's funny that it doesn't happen all that often. Right, Cook breaking away is it, but when they throw the football, it never looks easy to me.
The whole season, we're 5 weeks in, and anybody on the outside, they can use the middle of the field, they can get Shakir, they can get Kincaid.
I was say the Kincaid plays look easy.
That's
sometimes.
Right. They can get the middle of the field and they can get their behind the line of scrimmage throws. But if they need to throw to the boundary, it's not happening.
No, they tried to Shavers even yesterday where they tried a couple where he's running down the field and Allen didn't throw it. There was another one we tried back shoulder
to Tyrell Shavers
and it didn't work. I think they're looking for, he's looking for an answer there. I don't know if they're looking for an answer. He is.
No.
I like that they have the Kincaid plays, though. Like, I don't think they had those last year.
That's right. Yeah, I would agree.
And he looks dangerous. And it's not screens, right? They threw one to him. They got a penalty. But it's not manufactured. It is Josh Allen drops back to pass. Everybody go run around and somebody get open. And who's getting open? It's happening Kincaid, with Kincaid. Yeah. I think this is the breakout. It's just he's not on the field for 35% of the plays.
Time to get you the Skyworks stats of the game, brought to you by Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. The Patriots and the Bills, the quarterbacks were very close to one another in QBR, in rating, in yards, and everything. Nobody ran the ball well. Trevion Henderson, 6 for 24. Antonio Gibson, 6 for 21. Ramondre Stevenson, 7 for 14. Oof. Isn't it funny how the Patriots came in like, oh, this run defense, we're going to have our way with this run defense, and they did not. What they had was a quarterback that was super efficient, picked them apart, 22 of 30, 273. No touchdowns, no picks for Drake May. He also got sacked four times.
He did take a few sacks.
He took four sacks for 6 yards. How about that? Like, they got
him. He's moving up in the pocket as he's getting hit.
And one more note on May. He makes the great play to hold off Daquan Jones and find Diggs. He makes the great throw, the whole shot, to Kayshon Boutte. How about the play before the field goal? What a smart play that was. Oh. They move him and roll him out, and he knows, I can't throw this ball.
I thought he was going to – I thought for a brief second, like, oh, is he going to throw it away?
Yeah. And
like, quarterbacks without much awareness, that I can think of a couple in the league where, like, that guy might throw it away here. And he didn't.
Tucked it, and he got back basically to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Kept the clock running, gave them a chance to kick as late as possible. It was a smart play. And you could see him go to the sidelines, and Vrabel said, you did a good job. Like, you did the right thing. I don't exactly, but you could tell that the tone was very much that's a good play.
Right, like, because he came close to getting got 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Which would have been...
It would have made it a 60-something yard field goal, although I will say it felt like that kicker's kick would have been good from 85. Yep. Did you see how high it was through the uprights on a 53-yard field goal?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, obviously, there's a lot more negatives than that we're used to. So, you know, we got to come back tomorrow and clean up the negatives. And, you know, obviously still take some good for this game, but definitely got to clean up the negatives.
All right, that's Bills safety Taylor Rapp. And the Bills actually, I know Drake May had a lot of yards passing, and they got really beat by Stephon Diggs, but everything they kept everything underneath, and a lot of it was yards after catch. They didn't get hit by explosive plays other than yards after catch, nothing over the top. That's something you want to always, you know, keep in mind. I know there's been a lot of concern about the safety play, but this wasn't a team that likes to do that anyway. Next week's a little different. That's a team in the Atlanta Falcons that'll push the ball down the field a little more, and they're going to have to, you know, be just as good in that area. But I didn't have a problem with, like, the safety play. It was the corners with the outside. It was covering one-on-one Stephon Diggs in this one. That was a big issue for the Bills. They lose 23-20 to the New England Patriots. They fall to 4-1. Taking your phone calls here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Billy is in Toronto. Hi, Billy. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Yeah, good to hear the story with you and getting that dog. you know, I love a dog story. I mean, the same with me here in Toronto. Me and my wife went out, and she said she wanted a big dog like you got. So we were either going to get this, Sal. We were either going to get a Great Dane or a St. Bernard, but we found out that they have a shorter shelf life. Sal, I can't make this up, but guess what kind of dog she came home with? Sal, she comes home with a Chihuahua.
I love it.
But Sal, I'll tell you, this dog was the funkiest dog around. 18 years we had him, Sal, and I'll tell you, man, this guy just owned me.
I got it.
My wife was the pack leader, but these dogs, man, God bless you for getting one. We weren't blessed with children, and when this guy finally left us, man, I'll tell you what a hit I took. But anyway, that's, you know, good for you for getting a dog, and I hope you have a lot of fun with him. So, listen, I've phoned you a number of times, and I've said, what are we worrying about? Nothing to worry. We're going to the Super Bowl, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? I'm now starting to get a little annoyed. I really am, and I'm not worried about New England being a team in our division. New England's not going to be there when it's over, and I feel we are. But, my God, we got to get it together. The last three games, and I know we put the points on the board, but I think I want us to do something different in with our offense. I mean, I know you want to mix it up, run and pass, but I'll tell you this, Sal, and I'm embarrassed to say this because of watching so much sports, but I fell asleep at halftime and seeing that, not halftime, when New England went up to take the lead, I think it was 14-10, and I missed the rest of the game, so I may be off base about what happened in the second half, but it just seemed Josh was running all over the place. It just seemed like he couldn't get set. I want us to go downfield a lot more. And, you know, you can say, well, you know, the big weapon that we had was on the other team yesterday. But I don't care if we don't complete those passes. We've got to show that a little bit more that we're going to. I used to love the Josh of old that would just rear back and sling it all over the field. I get you got to run it. I get you got to do the little things. But, okay, Buffalo, this is three games in a row now. I've just about had enough now. Let's get it together. Let's go in Atlanta, get the win, and let's get back on track.
Yeah, I get you. And I think there's a lot that's baked into that, Billy. Thanks for the call, and I'll touch on it, which is we're not seeing the separation early on from the wide receivers, and I don't know why Josh left a couple clean pockets last night. There's a video floating around. I think Warren Sharp just did one. And look, you have the best quarterback in the league, arguably, the league MVP. So it's not a, oh my God, you know, what's going on with Josh Allen, but he's also, you know, not above making mistakes. And he threw a ball that he shouldn't have thrown, maybe on a pick. And then later, it's the drive that, you know, ultimately ended in the field goal. The play that he threw to Shakir, that a lot of people thought was interference. I did. They didn't throw the flag. It looks like he has Curtis Samuel open. He leaves the pocket a little early. If he doesn't leave the pocket, and he shouldn't have had to leave the pocket, by the way, he probably hits or maybe sees Samuel for a touchdown. But anyway, those are things that little things that add up. Maybe he left the pocket a little early because he didn't want to get hit because he had been hit on the knee and he was limping a little bit. So that's also a factor. I'm not sure. The left tackle, Deion Dawkins, was engaged. The end was crashing a little bit, but he had him engaged. Josh just hangs in the pocket a second longer. He probably sees Samuel. It's a touchdown. These are the little things that matter, but you put yourself in that position with three turnovers and penalties, and that's the biggest point of what happened on offense yesterday. John and Clarence. Hi, John. You're on WGR.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for my call. Yeah. I'm a little late coming to the morning shows here, so please forgive me. A lot of guys added to what I was going to say, but as far as our defense is concerned, this isn't anything new, what we've been watching here so far. After that first game against Baltimore, I thought to myself, well, if our defense looks like this in week 5-6, then I think it's time to get concerned, and I think that time is now. Receivers are getting so much separation from our secondary, and it seems to be an ongoing issue. And we have been dealing with this issue for years in our secondary. As far as our offense is concerned, I agree with the last caller. I like to see this ball being thrown downfield. I mean, if you got the MVP, you know, half of our throws are our sideline throws, relying on our offensive linemen to pave the way for these guys. We got the best arm, the best quarterback in football. Let them loose. I mean, let the guy loose. And our receivers, when Josh Allen is scrambling back here, our receivers have to create some separation for this guy. And it just seems that that's been lacking for a long time. And I appreciate you taking my call. Thanks again.
Yeah, John, I'll just point out, Josh Allen averaged over 8 yards an attempt last night. They did throw the ball downfield, maybe not over the top of the defense, if that's what you're looking for. I get it. But they actually threw the ball downfield last night. And they had their share of behind the line and screens. I understand that. But, you know, Dalton Kincaid, those are mid-level throws, right? Keon Coleman had one. You had one of Josh Palmer. And, like, I mean, you know, just because it doesn't go over the top 70 yards, right, which with the show the big arm, I get that. You want that. And those are a little, you know, risky and they can result in completions. But they did actually throw the ball a little bit downfield last night. I just wanted to point that out. So, all right, I don't know if John's still with me. I get it, though. I know you want to see a bomb down the field, right? Throw it deep. Show the arm. Yes. But 8.61 yards per attempt. 8.16 yards per attempt last night from Josh Allen. Let's go to Joe in Tonawanda. Hi, Joe. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. A lot more fun calling in on a victory Monday, but appreciate you doing this. And I mean, yeah. You got to be a little silly on days like this just to keep yourself happy. So it's always a pleasure calling into Sal Capaccio.
Well, you know what? I have I do this for you. I do this for you guys out there, Bills fans, you know, to call up and get off their chests what is on their chest and maybe make you feel a little bit better, that it's a little therapeutic and you said what you needed to say. So that's why I do it. And that's why I'm here, Joe. So thank you.
I appreciate it, Sal. You're the best therapist I've ever had.
I love it. Go ahead.
Well, one question for you, Sal, and it might be a bit of a silly question, but with you being on the sidelines, something that I wonder, I know you're a seam head, too. You like baseball. You know, in baseball, when a pitcher doesn't have his fastball, he's having an off night, you often see him on a short leash. They go to the bullpen. They bring in somebody new. You know, last night, Josh is getting – he had a couple odd reads on the read option. He throws an interception. Are there conversations on the sideline ever in games like that where it's, hey, Josh – take a seat for a little bit. Maybe we'll put Mitch in there, kind of
Not even close. Not even close. There shouldn't be, and that would be, I'm sorry, Joe, but ridiculous. You actually think they should do that or no?
I just remember back in the day when Marv would put in Frank Reich to spell Jim every now and then.
He did not do that. I don't remember that. He played for him when he was hurt.
Well, I'm a little long in the tooth, so I might be misremembering, but I just wanted to see if you thought.
And by the way, Josh made a couple mistakes last night, but man, he wasn't like terrible by any means. He was 22 of 31, 253, a couple of touchdowns, an interception, but no, that does not happen, nor should it happen. The minute if they sit Josh Allen down because he had a wrong read on a read option or threw a red zone pick to bring in Mitch Trubisky, the phone lines would light up way more today with people really mad about that, and they should be. So, not that I know of, there's never a conversation like that, and I would never endorse that happening.
Good to know, Sal.
Yeah.
That's good intel.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks, Joe. No way. And I'm not telling you Josh is perfect, not telling you that there isn't a time where, you know, they're getting beat pretty badly, and towards the end of a game you take him out, but he's your best chance to win. I don't care if he's having the worst game of his life through three quarters. If that game's close, he's your quarterback because he's the guy that can bring you back. I think this is Jerry is what it says here in a car. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Sal. It's Terry.
Thank you. I apologize.
I was watching from the road last night, and I just like to talk about fan responsibility. I forgot to bring the sleepwear I wear for Bills games, and I didn't have it, and I was nervous that we wouldn't win, and then we didn't, and so I'd like to apologize to all the Bills Mafia.
It's okay. You were supposed to wear white and you didn't? Is that what you're saying?
No, just my usual Bills.
Oh, yeah. Well, are you you're superstitious, Terry? Is that what it is?
Jerry. No, I'm just kind of playing around. Wanted to say that. But I was nervous the whole game. And so I just, like, so nervous because, I don't know, I'm just nervous, and especially how it started out and everything. So I decided I've got to, like, look at the game and just sort of enjoy seeing these amazing athletes. And, you know, it's too bad he was on the other team at the time, but it was really fun watching Drake May. I mean, he's fun to watch in the way that Josh was.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they think they found something in him, and I don't disagree. He's not Josh Allen, but he is a very good young quarterback. He's mobile. He makes plays. He was Houdini last night a couple times. He had an excellent fourth quarter. And, you know, they should be very excited in New England with this young quarterback. And if you're looking at it from a football perspective, which you are, Jerry, then it's going to be really interesting watching these two guys battle over the next several years.
Yeah, definitely. And just one other thing. So we have a mixed breed Great Pyrenees and stuff, and they're wonderful dogs, but they have a mind of their own and all. But they're so lovable, and I love hugging mine, like the bigness of it. So.
How big is your dog?
He's a mixed breed, so he's in his 70.
Okay. I think ours is going to get to about, they said 110 or 120 pounds, so that's really big.
Oh, my God, he's a puppy? Oh,
yeah, right now, yeah. Yeah,
I've been pulled over and arms pulled out. And we're like, we're in our 60s
I got it.
And 70s, and it was like, this is our last big dog. Forget it.
Thank you very much, Jerry. I appreciate you, and sorry about the name mispronunciation earlier. Thank you.
I don't care.
You got it. Thank you. We'll take one more here from Mike before we go to a break. Hi, Mike.
Sal, what's going on?
Just taking some phone calls like you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for taking a call. Make sure you get yourself a big pooper scooper with a dog that big. You're going to need a big bucket.
I've already experienced that part of it over the last weekend, yes, for sure.
You got it. So, speaking of pooper scooper, I'm going to talk about Brandon Bean here real quick. I know, and I don't always agree with Jeremy White, but I'll tell you, with the receiver thing, it's going on. I agree with Jeremy 100%. He's lost on the receiver. You're ruining a perfect good quarterback, and I feel we're at the end of our window. I think we missed our window, and that's sad, because we've had a lucky schedule to be playing crummy teams at the beginning of this year. And every game, I get the NFL is close, but the Saints stink, Miami stinks, Baltimore, look what they did. We thought we were some heroes beating them. We got lucky with those games. And, you know, it's about time the media steps up and starts asking Bean more of these tough questions. And
Well, stop. What do you mean? What do you mean? He has been. He came on this radio station to fire back. We do. And by the way, we don't just talk to him every day, Mike. It doesn't work like that.
One time, but you guys got to start when you have them.
We do. We do. We do ask them. What do you, Mike, stop. Don't make this about the media. Mike, don't make... Okay, so if I what would you like me to ask Brandon Bean the next time he has a media availability, which by the way does not happen during the season, just so you know.
But why doesn't it? You guys need to call him on the carpet.
Mike, would you like to know that's not how it works? We are allowed to talk to Brandon Bean when the team says he has a media availability, like around a trade deadline. Wait, hold on, Mike. I'm explaining it to you so you know how it works, okay? Like around a trade deadline, around the draft, we don't just have – he's not like Sean McDermott where we have him weekly a couple times before a game and then on a radio program. It doesn't work like that. That's not how the job works.
But you get McDermott on and everything's a big – rubbing them on the shoulders during the press conference when he has his press conference. How about we ask some tough questions and stop being soft with the guy?
Okay, it's about the media. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your call. We'll take a timeout.
Allen back to pass, looking left, now middle, pressure coming, has to avoid it, steps up, fires, and it's complete to Kincaid at midfield. Another first down for Buffalo as Kincaid is feasting at the second level.
Your player of the game is presented by Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield. Highmark is the official health plan of the Buffalo Bills because life. Kincaid with 6 receptions for a career single game high, 108 receiving yards. Unfortunately, not enough in the 23-20 loss to the Patriots on Sunday Night Football. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you on a Buffalo Football Monday. After their Bills' first loss of the season. Want to get right back to the phones at 803-0550. And leading us off this segment is Benjamin in Medina. What do you got for us, Benjamin?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Just a couple quick things that I was finding. First off, I know that we couldn't run the ball, so we quit that, which I thought was good. But I was curious why Allen didn't take more checkdowns to any of the running backs. It seemed James Cook didn't have a single reception. And he kept trying to push it down. I think it caused some of the mistakes that was caused. Obviously, the reason we lost was the penalties and turnovers, which are killer. That's why I'm not too worried about it. It's not a characteristic thing that the Bills have done. Just curious on your thoughts on the checkdowns. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no problem, Benjamin.
Yeah, I'll say this, too. I agree with you. I saw there were times when I thought Josh passed up easier completions in order to try and get a bigger chunk.
It's a trap we see him fall into sometimes, Steve. When the offense is disjointed and they're struggling to put points on the board, I think occasionally Josh puts too much of it on himself to make a game-changing play, and it was still a tight game. He probably could have stayed within the framework of the offense and take what the defense gives him. I thought that was a step he made in his game last year. We saw it early this year, and I think he got away from that last night a little bit, looking to get it all in one play down the field with a low percentage play rather than sticking with some of the higher percentage stuff. The structure of the plays that Joe Brady was calling a fair amount of the time were working in players getting open, and Josh at times, not the whole game, at times was trying to be too aggressive in getting it all in one play or was leaving the pocket too early, which compromises the structure of a play.
Yeah. All that was in the mix, but you're right. I thought obviously it wasn't Josh's best game, and I think you could kind of read it on his face in his post game comments, blaming himself for the pick when he was trying to fit it into Shakir on a bad throw, and just not enough completions. You know, there were easy early completions to be. I'm talking about early in the down, getting it out of his hand a little faster that he passed up. Because he wanted to buy more time, give guys a chance to get open. I don't think they were helping him enough in the back end and down the field. Guys getting open, working hard to shake their defender. He could have used some more help, and they didn't get it.
To Matthew in East Aurora. What's up, Matthew?
Hey, guys. I want to talk about Diggs' behavior that I noticed last night at the game. He was the last Patriot on the field after warm-ups, dapping up some of his former teammates and coaches. And then even on a key third down in the fourth, he was up on the sideline encouraging teammates to stand up and cheer for the defense. It's clear that like he sees himself as a big-time leader, and I know he's known as a competitor, but I was wondering if you guys could talk about maybe his intentionality to insert himself, have that kind of presence, and why that's why, yeah, he had a lot of success here, but ultimately why he was traded away. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I thought the post-game interview with Melissa Stark on Sunday Night Football at the end of the game was very telling. She asked him how he feels he has matured as a leader, and he said he has in the last 2 years. For whatever reason, whether it be the hardships he personally experienced with an ACL knee injury after going to the Texans, because they made him a captain down there after he was traded there. And I believe, isn't he a captain with the Patriots? I think he is.
He went out for the coin flip.
Yeah, I don't think he's got a C on his jersey, but he is a veteran leader on that team. And he said, I feel like I've matured a lot as a leader. And look, when he was here, he brought juice to the practice setting. He would challenge guys to play their best against him. And he would chirp at people that he didn't think were working as hard as he was in the practice setting. He leveled up the intensity of practice here in his 4 years in Buffalo. Now, there was some other stuff that compromised the team concept, I think, which largely I think the Bills kept under wraps. And that's some of the off-the-field drama stuff that you heard about regarding him, and we'll never know the exact nature of what that was, but obviously it had reached a level combined with his lack of production in the playoffs where the Bills just said, it's not worth, the juice is not worth the squeeze anymore. We're going to trade him, even with a $31 million cap hit, which I think is an indication of just what they were probably dealing with. And I think since then, Stephon, who is now an older player, still very productive, but I don't think the explosive athlete that he used to be, recognizes that his value is in helping keep drives alive with short to intermediate passing and his leadership. And he gets guys juiced up. I don't think there's any question about that. And maybe he is a better leader with less drama now at this stage of his career.
Steph reminded us of the kind of player he was for Buffalo. He was a great player during games. And it's also a testament. Steph was great here when he was playing well and getting a lot of targets and catching a lot of balls.
Yep.
When he wasn't, he wasn't. So last night was one of those games where the Patriots got all of the good Steph. You know, he was getting targets, he was making plays, and that's when Steph is at his best, when he's best, you're the best version of him. That's why at times it got a little cumbersome when Josh felt the need to feed him the ball, even when there were other guys that should have gotten the ball. And he had this imbalance.
Yeah,
you know, it's great when it's going great. Steph is great.
Yep.
Leadership shows up when it's not going great, when you need a guy to elevate guys when it's tough and when they're not the center part of the offense. So,
and that's when he wasn't
great. That's when he wasn't great. Last night, you got the best version of him, no question about it. And the Patriots knew it, and I think that probably tells the Patriots something about the kind of player he can be as well.
And I would say the other difference is, outside of Hunter Henry, who else is Drake May throwing to in that offense?
That's right.
It's Diggs and Henry. That's it. Maybe an occasional throw to Kayshon Booty, maybe a throw out of the backfield to one of the backs, but it's the Henry and Diggs show.
Yeah.
And that works for Diggs.
Yeah. They'll be able to tap into him a lot. And
let's see how he looks in the second half of
the
season.
You saw how energized he was on the sidelines. Like, you know, the caller said, Matthew said, yeah, when it's
going good.
Steph would have been that guy, he would have had a great game in the loss. If the Patriots turn it over, like Drake May fumbles it, the Bills fall on it, they go down, they get a field goal, and they're the ones who win the game. Steph looks like a hero in that game because he's over there elevating, you know, he's doing all the right stuff. It's the other kind of games when the, when it doesn't go the Patriots' way, and he's not involved as he wants to be, that it it's tough. You know, becomes a little bit of a burden.
Let's see if he can sustain it.
Yeah, and,
because his last 2 years in Buffalo, we all remember, lights out the first 8 games of the season, and then all of a sudden he can't separate in the second half because his body's tired or whatever it is, and some of it's his own doing because he works so hard in practice. I think he runs his legs right out of gas for the second half of the season. He can't give you anything in the second half of the year. Let's see how he looks at age 32, back half of the schedule.
That's the kind. But let's face it, you got to tip your hat to him. That is the kind of player he was for Buffalo when he was at his best. Yep. He had one of his best. He probably had the best game he had in 2 years, 2.5 years for in the NFL last night against this team. So you got the very best look at what Steph Diggs is and has been in the NFL. And, you know, tip your hat to him. You got to hand it to him. It really was.
Let's go to Kevin in Hamburg next. Let's punch him up here. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Our defense did some good things, but we could not keep up with them. But I think I want to quote Vic Carucci last night after the game, and I'm sure you're going to hear it plenty of times. Sloppy and undisciplined, and the not so much the turnovers, because you know it's going to come against a team whose defensive-minded coach is like Vrabel, who learned from one of the best, who learned from also one of the best in the Tuna. But the dumb penalties, it's not so much the holding, you're going to get holding, you're going to get pass interference, but the dumb ones that really drive you nuts, like knowing that you can't line up on the offensive side uncovered, and the Patriots did it too. So those things like that are the ones that more make you want to go nuts than a, you know, everyone's going to call the holding and stuff like that. Those ones, you know, when you're a football player, you can't line up a certain way without it being called or not called, and those things. And I think maybe, I don't know, somebody said maybe we need a wake-up call, and maybe that might be good. Sometimes we need a wake-up call because we, in the same game, we didn't do that wonderful, even though we won by 12 points, so we need those wakes. I think you need a wake-up call, even if it's an L instead of a W. So,
all right,
I'll let you go on to see what you're going to say.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Yeah, it was sloppy. I mean, Josh said it was sloppy. It's been sloppy the last 3 weeks. They were just able to overcome it with enough good play to win the previous two games. But their play has not been airtight for 3 weeks. So we kind of saw this coming. You knew eventually, because the NFL is too competitive, the margins are too narrow, to play that way and win consistently. You knew it was going to come home to roost at some point in time, and it happened last night.
Well, yeah, 17-0 sounded great, you know, when you're 4-0 and you're humming along and your schedule looks great and all that. You kind of figured they'd stumble, and this is the way it's going to look when the Bills lose. It's the way it's looked for 8 years. They lose close games. It's, you know, occasionally they lose by double digits, but this is the way it happens. They help you, they turn it over, they get some dumb penalties, and the other team gets a couple of breaks and has a couple of plays. They make a couple of plays on their own, you know, and you lose by 3 on a last second field goal. That's what losses against Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, and this crew look like.
Mm-hmm.
They took one last night. At home, it hasn't happened for a long time at home, but you figured it'd be a division opponent who did it to them, and that's what it was going to look like. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to think, well, they got to change some things. They got to revamp their offense. They just keep on keeping on. They're still too tough to beat to change their recipe now.
Let's go to Bobby in Buffalo next. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Chris, one thing I do agree with you on, sir. Sir, the biggest takeaways I saw from the game on yesterday, of course, too many penalties, too many mistakes. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm watching the game last night, and every time I look up and turn around, I said, oh, my God, here's another penalty. Here's another penalty. If it's not a holding call, it's something else. I mean, the Bills have to clean that up real quick, real fast and real quick. That's number one. Number two, everybody talking about Stephon Diggs. Listen, Stephon Diggs last night, I do believe that he made a statement last night. That was a statement for Stephon Diggs last night. I mean, 10 catches, 146 yards. It seemed like the Bills did not have the answer to stop him on last night. I mean, every time I looked up, he was making a play, and I'm sitting there watching the game, and I'm saying to myself, "What is the problem?"
Yeah, I'll explain it to you, Bobby. So thanks for the call, because we're up against the break here. But essentially, in the second half, the Patriots got in a personnel grouping they liked a lot. They had split backs in the backfield, and they used those backs to double-team the pass rushers on the edges, Rousseau and Bosa, most of the time, because they believed guard-to-guard could handle the two defensive tackles. This is where you missed Ed Oliver. You missed Ed Oliver's pass-rushing presence up the middle. They said, you don't have Ed Oliver. We believe we can double-team your outside rushers. Max protect. We'll give Drake May a half an hour to throw the football. And our three guys in routes will beat whoever you have on the back end because we don't believe you can cover for 5 seconds. And more often than not, Drake May had a half an hour back there to throw the football because the edge rushers were double-teamed. The Bills decided to commit to coverage, feeling they could cover up three guys with five. They couldn't. And Stephon Diggs had a field day out there. That's why. Yeah. The Bills did not have an answer for that. Now, defensively, they had an answer for a lot of other things. They held the run game to 3.1 per carry. They kept Drake May in the pocket. That's probably the least I've seen him run all season because he has been a menace running out of the pocket. They kept him contained for the most part. And look, they got two stops in the red zone. They got a takeaway that the offense did nothing with. And on a fumble by Keon Coleman at the 10-yard line, they hold the Patriots to a field goal. And at the end of the half, they hold them to another field goal on a goal-to-go situation. The defense did a lot right. They didn't have an answer for that personnel grouping, and the Patriots used it almost the entire second half.
Right.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
That's why Diggs did what he did.
Yeah, and they max protected. It was a little bit like, it's a little bit like Super Bowl 26. The Redskins kept eight guys in the box, max protected, sent three guys out, and just gave their quarterback and their wide receivers all the time they needed, and that was what it took. You got to have an answer for that. Somebody's got to win up front against a double team, and that's, you know, until you do that.
But that's where your shorthanded personnel-wise hurts you. And the Patriots, to their credit, knew that the Bills were down in personnel. Milano's out of the game already. He's hurt with the pec again. You have no Ed Oliver, and you don't have cornerback depth. And you're playing with who you're playing with. And they felt they could beat those guys, and they did. And it's as simple as that. There's a point in time where a coordinator can only do so much. I'm not putting this game on Babbage. I'm not putting it on the defense. It's sloppy offense, turnover football, and that's not cashing in the red zone enough.
That's why also –
that's it.
That's also why a guy like Steph Diggs busted out last night. That's his forte, getting open. He's a route runner, separator.
And the Bills are shorthanded defensively, man-wise.
They used him like that. And that's why he was there, and that's why he was the guy. And the Bills' defense, you know, it wasn't like they completely were stymied. I mean, you got Drake May doing some stuff. I mean, he played well, made some plays when there wasn't a play to be made. Steph Diggs made a couple, probably, there were two catches on the sideline that were all-timers, and then there was also the Daquan Jones drag down where, you know,
makes
an all-world play, and, you know, they turn nothing into something. That kind of stuff happens. It took all of those things, the penalties, the turnovers, and that offensive scheme and the guys jumping out of their skin offensively to make plays. It took all of that to beat the Bills in that building last night.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy?
And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cook the lone setback, but it's a fumble, and it's recovered by the Patriots. It was a mishandled exchange between Josh Allen and Dawson Knox. Fires underneath, it's complete, and then fumble! The ball is out again, and it looks like the Patriots have it. It's another turnover for Buffalo. Allen has time, pumps, fires over the middle, and it's picked off. Intercepted by Marcus Jones inside the 10-yard line, and he's out to the 12. The third turnover of the game for Buffalo.
We didn't take advantage of our opportunity. I thought our defense played well and they bailed us out a couple times, but just not going to win many NFL games turning the ball over three times.
Thought we beat ourselves, turning the ball over three times. They get 10 points, we get one takeaway, don't get any points off it. Just not enough complimentary football. Didn't seem like we were into a rhythm offensively enough.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
And welcome to Complimentary Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. What will your defining image of this game be? It stands out because we've never seen the uniforms before. So, like, that'll change over time, but it's the first time we saw the Bills wear those uniforms. And I wonder, like, what... We've got three turnovers here that there, and maybe we're going to harp on. Is it Diggs? Is it, what is it, do you think, will be the...
Diggs is hard to escape. I mean, to have that game in this spot for him was, it stings. 10 for 145 or whatever the final numbers are. All you can really say is he didn't get in the end zone on you, but wow. I think not that it's like the thing. I mean, the turnovers, the penalties, not being able to cover Diggs, I think hurt you more. But, you know, at the end, it's three straight incompletions by the Bills with a chance to, you know, go ahead in the game by four. And
you force, mean they're down three.
They're down three, and they have to. They put together first downs on that drive and stalled. They had a first and 10 at the New England 27-yard line.
And 3 minutes?
Yeah, and it's three incompletions, and, you know, you end up kicking.
Two of which are Allen just running around like it's the last play of the game almost.
Yeah, and, you know, in most cases, I'm willing – to defend him, because I think a lot of last night was him with a lot of time to throw. They repeatedly were pointing out on the broadcast on TV last night, for those of us who weren't at the game, that
you know, wait till you hear my defining images.
He seems to have a lot, you know, seems to have a lot of time back there and just can't seem to find anyone. But one of the plays, maybe the third down play, Warren Sharp has tweeted this and a lot of other people have, and you know, it's not 100% necessarily that he blows it, Allen, here, but he bails on what looks like a pretty clean pocket. He's being spied by, I think, a linebacker or a D lineman. I don't know who, but someone is standing sort of, there's a gap there, and that dude is not coming through it. Maybe Allen thinks he's going to, which is why he bails out. But, and maybe if he stays there, that guy comes at him. I don't know. But he gets out of there, and I think it's Samuel is running from right to left across the formation towards the corner of the end zone. And the safety, even if the safety doesn't leave his spot because Allen bails out, I think that's still open enough. I just don't know how Allen doesn't see that. I think he must not have seen Samuel. There must have been too much noise, you know, too much traffic.
Well, he would have blended in, Samuel. Did Allen not say this? Did he not make this obvious point that all my guys were just blending in with the crowd? I couldn't see anybody throughout the game.
I've not heard that, isn't it? But anyway, it, you know, it's kind of on brand for me, right? Like, we're always arguing about Sean McDermott in the defense and 9 yards of play in playoff losses against Kansas City. And I'm over here going, it's A.J. Klein and Kyer Elam, and I've got the ball with a chance to win. And that still, I think, is a failure on the offense's part. Last night, all the warts and all your three turnovers and all your penalties and everything, I've got the ball at the 27-yard line, first and 10. You know, I'm not home free unless I can run the clock all the way down and then score, but that might have been hard from where they were. I think they...
It would have been possible.
They missed again. The offense did not come through there. And, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen cut-ups of the other two incompletions, but that third down play, there's an opportunity there.
Well, first down, isn't that a Shakir drop?
I'm trying to remember. I'm okay. Not positive.
Second and third seemed like they were mostly the same, which is Allen just on the loose, right, trying to find. It's Coleman on second down, and it's Shakir on third down. That's almost interference, the third down play, I would say. But you can't assume that.
Oh,
call.
On Shakir, where he ultimately throws
Gonzalez.
It. Yeah, right, right.
Well, I you know, their problems are still their problems. And it's just a relative term. Like, this is a team that does not have as many problems as most other teams. But you still have, I mean, it's not only their offense. You still have this issue that you're talking about. Who can get open ever? Like,
yeah,
just sort of functioning. This team has made life hard on Allen before, and they did that again. It's a respected coach and some good talent. Like, this wasn't the Dolphins. This was not a team that Allen can just sort of close his eyes and beat. Far from it. So you have that part of it here in play, too. It wasn't like the Bills had a terrible night offensively or did nothing, but it's kind of mostly what it's looked like the whole year, or since week three, anyway. Week one was just off the rails, and the Jet game was so easy. But they've had stretches in these three home games where they weren't perfect.
Yeah, we've been, you know, to some extent or another, arguing with one another, not necessarily you and I, although there's been some of that, through these games, like, well, they won by 12, you know, it's fine, but you're uncomfortable for large portions of the game because it's closer than it feels like it should be, but then they come out and they win, you know, they beat Miami by 10 and they beat the Saints by 12. Okay, well, you know, they got their 31 points and we're fine, you know, nothing to see here. But you keep cutting games that tightly. You keep playing in a style that will often allow for your opponent to... Now, yesterday was more, I think, because of the turnovers. I mean, the Bills don't turn the ball over in New England's territory or at their own 10-yard line or whatever it was. You know, those are points. Those are points both ways, right? You're giving them three. You held them to three. Good. You're costing yourself at least three with the interception, and so that's why it was the way it was. But bottom line is, that game was a lot like the previous two games, just with the mistakes sprinkled in.
Nobody roughed the punter last night.
Right.
Is one difference.
That you didn't get a gift. You just did not get the gift anywhere there, and so. You know, part of the reason why I think fans and even some of us have been, you know, a little worried, and we're picking at the warts on a 4-0 team that's scoring 30 points a game, is because you're cutting it fine and someone's going to get you. You know, if you make some mistakes, you're really going to get got. And that's kind of what happened last night. They've been playing very close to the middle, and yesterday they didn't have enough to get by.
Which it's really not that surprising.
No.
Right?
No, I said all week, I'm not going to be surprised if New England wins this game. I think they're good, and the quarterback's excellent.
Well, it's true in a vacuum, but it's also just true by how they've looked.
Right.
You're playing, like New Orleans made it tough. They had a chance to win. Miami had a chance to win. So I think the season is still the same season. It's a more interesting division conversation now. It was completely over, it seemed. Had they won last night, what, you're just sort of sitting here waiting till January. And I think that's still mostly how it's going to be, but we don't know that. I think we know, and I also think this is sort of, it feels right for what this looked like before the season even started, is that they're not perfect, but Allen is great, and they're going to be fine. But what does that mean in January in Arrowhead or in... It's not really called the Hoosier Dome anymore. I mean, wherever, or here.
Or like, here, wherever, yeah.
Yeah, like what happens in those games? And you just can't know. This just changes the calculus on the one seed and how smooth of a ride maybe it was going to be. I mean, the Patriots are maybe a bigger story than the Bills.
I think so. I mean, I think in the league, when a team that is positioned where New England is, coming into the year, second-year quarterback that most objective people are pretty high on, if not very high on, is a good skill set there. He ticks the intangibles boxes. Guys want to play with him. They want to go to battle with him, yada, yada, all that stuff. But, like, is the rest of the roster really up to it? You know, how good can you expect to be when you're in year one of really a brand new program, right? New philosophies on both sides of the ball. Say what you will about Vrabel's ties to the organization. He's a different coach. He's not part of the, you know, Belichick. I mean, he was coached by Belichick. Anyways.
It's a reset.
It's a reset. And so what should you be expecting and how fast? Well, you know, they served some notice last night, I think, that they can – I mean, they did something no team has done since November of 23, which is come in here and win a game in the regular season.
Denver.
It was a really good night for them, and the quarterback especially. I mean, he just made some of the throws he made. The long one to Diggs down the sideline where he's rolling to his right is – that's an Allen play.
Yep.
That is a play we've watched Allen make – dozens, if not hundreds of times in his career already. And here's Drake May. Prime time, you know, upstart, and bang.
Totally get the comp after watching him last night.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who didn't really hear it or get it, like that May is sort of a version of Allen. Exactly. There were three or four plays in this game.
Or the play where Daquan Jones is hanging on him. The first play of their winning drive.
Right, right.
I mean, it's about to be a 12-yard loss.
Allen has so reconfigured how we watch football because, like, it's just never over with him. A play is never over with him, it seems. And those plays you're talking about last night in the fourth quarter were likewise. I mean, he's just... How long were those plays? 10, 12 seconds each? I mean, he's leaving the pocket and he's dancing backwards and like they never get there, but he didn't complete the passes. But, you know, May was this exactly last night on a few of these plays where if they had win probability, well, they might within plays, not just within
the
games.
It's like success of this
what
play.
What are the chances that one long one to Diggs ends up at first and goal from the five when he's, you know, scrambling. Yeah. What are the chances there? And if you watch, and you probably have, you've watched that play from behind May. Mm-hmm. Where is it? Like, Diggs is out there, but is it Rapp who's behind him and White who's in front of him?
Yep.
And May's got two guys coming toward him.
Rapp ends up closest to having a chance to deflect it or something. He's the player that dives as Diggs is diving.
And Diggs has to make an amazing play himself, getting his knee down. And he had two of these games in this game where in the crowd were like, no way, right? Like, let's look at the scoreboard and like, oh, I guess it's good. McDermott, I think, had his red challenge flag in hand on not that one, but a one that was over right by him.
Right.
And I looked over at McDermott. He put it back in his pocket. Like, it's not that.
We don't have it.
We don't have it.
Right.
So the Bills got a little bit of a taste of their own stuff with May. And I dare say last week, complimentary football talk. We were right there on this game, you and I. We were right there on this game. Like, he's live. They're not Miami when it comes to Allen. Like, there have been tougher games against them. You want to respect Vrabel. Then we'll see. They turn the ball over a lot, and wouldn't you know it, it was the Bills for the first time in forever in this game. I mean, I don't know why they didn't just recover their own fumbles like they always do.
Right.
I don't know why that was, like, not the plan, but it did not happen last night. In fact, the one that they got, right, it was one player after another early in the game after the botched handoff to Knox, and then Stevenson fumbled immediately thereafter. You see Trey White, like, dive on that ball and completely miss it. But, you know, he had backup on that. You know, the offense, there's a lot to say. There always is. They didn't get gashed in this game. You were seeing six yards per carry.
Right.
But you did have May, Diggs, Kayshon Booty late, Henry on a big one. Like, they did hit down the field enough times. Not all the time, but enough times. And the secondary is still a concern. I mean, we were getting trade deadline calls last week, and it was receiver and DB. And they just don't have Hairston yet. And as the season ticks along, you wonder just how long it might take him, if he's even good,
right,
to get there.
Because we really have no idea what he's going to be.
No
as a
idea.
Player.
He missed most of the summer.
He got hurt so early in camp. Yeah.
And it's still, you know, who knows how long. It could be immediately back, but they would have probably put him, you know, on that. Had given that designation last week if they thought he had a chance to play against Atlanta. Right. There's a bye after. I don't think any of those guys is playing against Atlanta. Then they have a bye after that. Then Carolina and Kansas City. So their problems, I think, are their problems, you know, and you're going to lose the close ones, right? Don't we always say that?
On
you're
going to
lose the turnover sometime.
Right.
Don't in a normal society, even the best teams lose a close game, lose turnovers, and here we are.
At least we can finally put to bed the numerous times that incorrectly the turnover thing has been referenced. I see it in tweets from like ESPN. Yeah. Like, they've won the turnover. No, they haven't lost it. I know it's not as sexy, so, you know, but you want to be right? Well, now it's over. They lost it. There's no tie. It's over. So go ahead, start a new streak. I don't know. We'll start counting again, I suppose. But at least that's behind them now. Not that that means anything. I'm sorry. It's kind of frivolous for me to bring up.
I've thought it. One thing you didn't get last night was James Cook. I mean, 49 yards, right. No catches,
Allen's,
no touchdowns.
Allen's their leading rusher in this game. Yeah,
and
barely.
Mostly out of desperate, couple of big ones.
Yep.
But Cook didn't even give you that, really.
Nope.
Johnson had got his turns. Davis got a turn or two. Nothing's really happening again.
Nope.
There with him. Kincaid had a good night. He's not, I don't think his route percentage went up or anything, but he got the ball a few times in this game. Coleman gets in the end zone. Samuel gets in the end zone. The Patriots get in the race is the
right
top story here. And now you went from what would have been 5-0 to 2-3, and nobody's even else is 2-3 in that division.
Right.
To game up with a loss to them.
Head to head, right.
And we talked about their schedule a lot in the offseason. It's funny, like the Jets seem like they're just so nowhere. But they had a tougher start. They had a tough start to their season, you know, in terms of their schedule. And if you don't overcome that, now you end up where they are. Or not end up, but you can be where they are right now, where it feels like the wheels are off.
Right.
And who knows if guys get benched, and it just makes it so much harder. New England, on the contrary, had the benefit of a pretty easy start before this game and then after this game.
Right. This was the big one.
And they win
on
it.
Their schedule, and they got it.
They go Saints, Titans, Browns next.
you're gonna have to hold yourself together here, Bills. You know,
then Atlanta, Tampa, Jets, and Bengals after that, and Giants. Their next eight. Let me just actually make it their next eight games, not their next three.
It's a lot to count.
Saints, Titans, Browns, Falcons, Bucks, Jets, Bengals, Giants, before they play the Bills again. How many games do they win?
The Bucks
six.
Bucks and Atlanta are the hardest games on there.
Well, they've shown they can lose to
sure.
anybody.
Yeah,
but they can beat anybody. They're maybe one of those teams. So, are they 9-4 going to the rematch in Foxborough in December? Maybe. I mean, they would take 9-4, right?
I think so. Sitting here at 3-2, yeah, sure.
Would they take 8-5? Maybe they would take 8-5. Let's go to Andrew here. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Shop. Hey, Bulldog. Good afternoon, guys.
What's up?
I just want to share with you, like, now we're officially, the first quarter of the season is officially a half game over. And I think last night's season really showed you our report card and illuminated where the key issues are in the three key areas. Number one, the secondary can't cover. Like McDermott defenses used to live off elite safety play, Poyer Hyde. We haven't had that for 2 years. Rapp and Cole Bishop, frankly, don't look good in coverage. You know, last night was the first real passing attack that and good offense that we faced, and they were looked bad. Trey got cooked a lot. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the everybody eats thing, I think that needs a rebrand to every pass catcher eats, but only James Cook eats in the running back room. Ray Davis has 4 carries for 6 yards, not including the Jets blowout game. Ty Johnson has 1 catch for 8 yards season to date.
How about that?
And then when it comes to the pass catchers, like Kincaid had six receptions on 6 targets. But he's only playing like 56 or 57% mm-hmm. of snaps. Why don't we have our best players on the field more?
Who are they?
Especially with like...
Who are they?
You know, pardon?
Who are they?
I don't know if we know. And I think part of that is well, probably...
I think I know.
Yeah,
to cite Ty Johnson's stats, the point is that Ty Johnson's one of their best players, I hope. Like, Cook is their best running back.
I'm not saying he's... I'm talking specifically for the pass catchers.
Okay, well, Shakir, Coleman, and...
Yeah.
Kincaid, but, I guess.
Everybody eats. I mean, it's relegated to the tight ends and wide receivers. Like when it comes to the
That was the point of it though. That's the point of the term.
Right, but they're eating a lot less than last year. Like Ty Johnson and Ray Davis had more significant roles.
They're not who everybody eats is about. It's about distributing the ball through the air. Johnson a little bit. But
yeah, if he's your third down back, yeah.
It's not like he matters that much in this whole, what's it called? Era? what even is it? No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not confusing who their best players are, is it? Is there somebody on the team, on the offense, that, like, if you're making this guy's point, or like, this guy needs to play more, who is it?
I think maybe Kincaid. If he's you know around 50% snap share and even targets per run and all that stuff, like he smashed last night 6 for 100, but he made absolutely the most out of the opportunities he got. He did not. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean there might be a conversation to be had about a little less with the different packages and Tyrell Shavers and this and that. And, like, let's get Shakir, Coleman, and Palmer, if those are your best three receivers, on the field with Kincaid and see if we can discover a consistent passing game. Can any of those guys get open? I mean, Kincaid's getting open against man. Like, I think the story of this game is mostly Allen not being able to trust that guys are going to get open. And so he's...
Go figure.
He's not delivering quickly. He's maybe skittish about that because, you know, the clock in his head is ticking and he's in the pocket, so he's going to get out of there maybe sooner than he has to sometimes because he's not trusting it. And, you know, weirdly enough, this is about where they were at this time last season. They lost those 2 games in a row to Baltimore and Houston was the one, right? It was 9 completions and like barely 100 yards yep. against the Houston Texans. And what did they have? They had the ability to shut you down playing a lot of man. And New England did plenty of that last night. And where's the wins? Where are the open guys, right? I get this one play, this one example from right before the field goal, but... Yeah. Other than that, I feel like it was a lot of Allen dropping back and like, nope.
Yeah, and that's just exactly where we've been for more than a year.
Yep.
They just don't have – it's one thing for me to say, well, we're not really confused over who their best players are we? It's another to say, well, how good are those players? Because, again, this team really needs Allen to play way up here, or they get it from Cook, which was not there in this game. And if you're going to play that personnel, then you can't have Knox on the field.
Right.
And he still matters a lot in, I think, how they see themselves. You know, big physical right. team. This team stood up to them, you know, like the Dolphins never do.
I have not seen it floating around on social media this morning, but I know on the game telecast last night, the interception that Allen throws, they have an end zone, like, a, you know, behind him shot of that. And literally, to me, what Allen does there is, I'm just going to throw it at Shakir, even though he's covered. No one is open. He's back there, and you can see the whole field, and there are just Patriots jerseys everywhere you'd want to go with the ball. There's just nothing happening.
But, of course, again, Samuel is 100% open.
On third and 10, that's right.
On their, yes. what, is that their last offensive play?
It is, yes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.